You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today with Matty Medica, Greggy Greg, Jake the Beast Seeley. I'm Nana DeFino. Hope you're having a lovely day so far. We are. Happy WNBA draft day, everyone. I don't say that unironically. They're actually in the hotel here. There's some kind of a session for, I think, the parents of the WNBA players that we saw happen on the seventh floor when we left for lunch. I don't know, man. I think it's cool. There's going to be, I believe, there was DFS for WNBA. Should be fun. Matty Mo, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Yeah.
It's beautiful out in the city. A hot weekend ahead.
Yeah, I'm wearing a cardigan today, and it's going to be 60-something degrees in like an hour. Such is life, Greg.
Yeah, I was actually very excited. I was looking at my closet today, and I was like, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to wear a polo, a short sleeve, and may not wear a jacket because it's going to be 72 degrees out. And I'm like, let's go!
Oh, I know. So tomorrow's the day, like That's the first warm day of spring.
Definitely soup and salad weather.
Soup?
Some would say every day is soup and salad weather.
Jakey, what's crack-a-lackin'? How are you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I actually tweeted that out yesterday. I was a little disappointed. Yesterday was the last day of jacket indoor sweatshirt weather.
Well, I mean, you're in Virginia Beach.
You're in Virginia Beach,
so,
dude.
Like,
that
I feel like,
count.
Yeah.
Right?
What do you mean that doesn't count?
It doesn't count. It's much warmer there all year round.
No, it's not. It's not like we don't have winter. Yesterday was the last day.
Jake, how far do you live from the beach?
About 5 minutes.
Walking or driving?
Driving.
You should go to the beach tomorrow, get a nice little tan.
I don't have that kind of money.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what Virginia Beach real estate is like. All I know is
if you're close to the beach, just like anywhere, real estate prices go up.
It's a 2-hour and 24-minute drive to Delmarva. That's all I know.
Actually, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Call back.
Do I have red Sharpie on my nose?
No, you're good.
I just touched it by accident with a Sharpie.
You do.
I was sniffing it to get ready for the show today, and I just touched my nose with the tip of it.
Do you feel more prepared for the show now?
I think so. Yeah. Now that the mark is there permanently, I could sniff it and be fired. Let's go. I'm high on Sharpie. On today's show.
Yes.
We're obviously going to talk Yerkes and Profar.
Obviously
going to talk Yerkes and Profar. Some interesting stuff going on. Franchi Cordero just shows up and hits a home run. That's Matty Moe's guy. Shout out. We will take a look at the Elvis Andrews injury, amongst others, when Virginia from Inside Injuries joins us later on. Hopefully in the scrubs.
Hopefully.
I mean, I think it's cool.
You got to do a shit.
Right, inside injuries, man. It looks cool. 5-page rundown today. But to be fair, a couple of the pages are taken up by...
Jerks and Profar in big letters.
Well, no, Jerks and Profar, we're not braggers here, but he is in caps. I have a Profar counter, so we can keep track of how many positions he's played.
And you also have the thumbnail today is...
Profar.
It's not popping off. It is Profar. Yesterday was...
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah.
It was Profar Pro Good.
Yes.
Today, it's Profar Pro Better.
Is Profar's, like, hope to become the poor man's Scott Kingery?
For those
Gronk
of you who are listening,
down.
Down
when Matty Moe was talking with his hands, he dropped Rob Gronkowski off his desk. Off the Corey corner.
TB12.
Anyway, no, I don't think he's got that
the
kind of power.
The Funko Pops don't have good balance.
No, they don't. Actually, Danny, the host of Popping Off. Oh, go ahead, Jake. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. No, you
no,
go.
No, you started before
you,
I did.
No, you go.
No, you go. No. No.
All right. No, Danny told me that some of them actually
saying,
have holes in the bottom. I'm out of here. Goodbye, everybody.
I did it on purpose. Go ahead.
Danny told me that the Pops actually have little holes in the bottom, some of them, and they're made with a stand.
The Nino Brown falls down every day.
No, those. All right, so yeah. Here, I'll show you. The Star Wars does. These have a stand. You can take them off, or they actually stay on the stand. I don't take them off the stand because they all bounce, but I've had to like mess with some of these and actually kind of rejigger the feet so they have a better... Like, Marcus Mariota falls over all the damn time.
Sad. Maybe these are the same mold for Mariota and Gronkowski.
Maybe Mariota and Gronk just normally fall over all the damn time.
Okay.
I'll see you tomorrow!
Back... So the lecture at hand. Let's talk Elvis Andrews. He's now out. Fractured elbow they're talking about. We're going to find out from Virginia later exactly what that means. They're going to need two Yerkes and Profar, basically. But for the one that we have, I started the Profar counter. He already has outfield eligibility, Matt. He has 4 games at second base, three at third base, and two at shortstop. You got to assume he's going to play a bunch of shortstop, I think. But will he be bouncing back and forth between second? I mean, is this in 2 weeks, is Yerkes and Profar going to be outfield, second, and shortstop eligible?
I'm thinking they want to give him one position. That would be my thought process here. You know, he finally has this opportunity. This is his chance to run with it and take it. So I think maybe he's the shortstop or whatever they decide. Whoever, I'm not sure what they're, who's going to fill in where, but I would think short.
Let's go to the Beast. Jake, Matty actually said he's finally getting an opportunity, which I think plays a lot into this. Profar is super talented, number one prospect in the game in 2012. He never really had that kind of straight playing time. They bounced him around a lot. They changed his position. They gave him a lot of days off. When you saw him in the minors last year when he had straight playing time, he was hitting well over 300. Beast, A, is this going to be a major part of assessing Profar going forward? And B, does his multi-position eligibility, when you look at how you're ranking players, is that going to jump him up at all?
No, because the biggest value, he doesn't have as much value in the outfield. That's a nice piece, you know, maybe 15 team league, five outfielders like most are this year. Well, actually, most leagues are five outfielders, but if you're playing a 15 team league, that'll help him. He'll get a little bit of boost there. But most people, for the average person that's playing out there in a 12 team league, the outfield doesn't do much for him because you have a decent amount of outfield options. You're really looking for the middle infield. You're looking for second base and shortstop. So if he gets both of those, there's a little bit of increase, obviously, because you can have that flexibility. In second base actually dries up kind of quick before you even realize it. So I think that gives a little bit of value to him, but I'm not looking for him evaluating where he plays in the field. I think this is going to be a nice evaluation of where he is as a hitter and where he stays long-term. The fact that Andrews is likely out for a long time, I don't see where Profar actually ever comes out at this point, because even if they get healthy, as long as Andrews is out, he's going to be playing somewhere over the next, I'd say, at least month or two.
Greg, yesterday we were talking about adding and dropping Ryan McMahon because he's not playing.
And he got his first start.
Well, but does this story about how Profar, where's he going to play, what's going to happen, and now just bang bang two injuries in a row that have opened up doors for him, is this a cautionary tale? Like, don't drop your Ryan McMahon or go immediately add Ryan McMahon. Does your microphone smell?
I just looked at it.
You pushed it away.
Yeah, so I just looked at the microphone.
Oh, do you have the one that's jammed up with everything?
Oh, my God.
Why don't you switch mics?
It's too much work. I'm too nervous.
Is it we just put one on the table and you turn around?
It's
disgusting, right? That's what I'm saying. We don't have the shield like we should.
I have never looked at this. Matt, you'll never sit here ever again.
Are you going to gag? Oh, keep looking at it. Gag.
Is everybody going to mock me again when I come into the studio with my alcohol wipes and wipe things down?
Oh. Jake, we have alcohol wipes.
This is I've seen this. This is beyond alcohol wipes.
I can't even describe to you what is in this microphone.
Where are our alcohol wipes?
Over there, I believe.
Right? The box?
There's a box.
Not even shields. That's why you're supposed to have the little foam over cover.
We're supposed to have those. Maybe we'll go shopping today after the shows. Anyway, you know what? These are designed for you to speak in the side. Like, I'm speaking through the side right now, so.
Oh, it's much better.
Yeah.
Can anyone hear me?
Anyway, the question was, Ryan McMahon, is this a cautionary tale? Like, if you see Ryan McMahon on your waiver wire, if Ryan McMahon's a free agent, sorry for the mini stifling burps, by the way. We had to gobble down our lunch pretty quickly.
Oh, it's delicious.
Because Greg took us 20 blocks away
for
lunch.
That was a nice bowl you had.
Did you
enjoy that? Okay.
Yeah, it was delicious.
All right.
Answer the question, Greg. Ryan McMahon, should you pick him up everywhere? Is this, like, listen, at some point this guy's going to be awesome and you're going to miss the boat if he's not already on your roster.
No, So every situation's different, and I think that's the main takeaway. Like, Ryan McMahon, as Jake said, got his first start yesterday, 2 weeks into the year. If you can hold on to him, that's great, but Yerkes and Profar and finally getting an opportunity to start doesn't really do anything for me when it comes to Ryan McMahon. Maybe it's not forward-thinking enough for me,
right. But
they're not simply not related. Like, what the Rangers happened to the Rangers where they lost their starting second baseman and starting shortstop in a matter of 2 days or 3 days is extremely uncommon, right? So for the Rockies to have to lose a lot of players, right? Carlos Gonzalez, Ian Desmond, Pat Valaika, like, they're going to lose a lot. Gerardo Parra, exactly. They're going to lose a lot of guys before Ryan McMahon potentially could fall into the position that Yerkes and Profar has. Now, to go to your point,
you play with fear, Greg.
Maybe I do, but yeah. to go to your question to Matt and Jake, I think he's going to play one position every day. I don't think we're going to see him switch between second base and shortstop on a regular basis. I think the idea is Andrews is probably going to be out longer than Odor. Odor is a hamstring injury. Andrews, we believe, has a broken elbow. So, like, that's probably going to keep him out longer, you'd think, than the hamstring strain. So, it's like, put your Yerkes and Profar at shortstop. Let him be your everyday shortstop. That's it. You bat him second or first or whatever in the lineup, and you just leave him be and see what you have. And if you have something in a month, that's awesome. If you don't, you'll know. And I think that's the best way where we and the Rangers are going to find out what Yerkson Profar truly is.
Matty Mo, when we were here before the show, just hanging out in the studio, you had mentioned, like, you kind of mused, actually. I wonder what Profar is going to go for this week in Fab.
Yeah, no, that's going to be interesting. The fact that he has the outfield, he'll get the shortstop or some middle infield position.
What is it? Is it five games in NFBC?
Ten, I believe.
All right.
I guess that's ten. Everywhere.
And
for
me,
your name Matty Mo, Jake?
Ryan McMahon is the more intriguing one here because I think these things have a way of working themselves out. He's getting a start today. He was dropped in one of my 15-team leagues, and I'm going to be spending the next, you know, few days deciding what to bid on him. But I think it's going to work out. David Dahl is injured on the DL once again, so he's not eminently coming up. And you could always move Desmond into the outfield. If he starts today...
It's one Desmond tweaked hamstring away from Ryan McMahon starting for 2 weeks.
It always seems to work out. Jose Martinez, I drafted him because I figured he would hit. And if he hit, he would play. And after opening day, they were like, he's our first baseman.
Yeah. So. All right. So here are the replacements. Supposedly, the name that's been out there is Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. He's a .276 average, pretty much no power in the minors. He can steal some bases. His career high is 17. I went and looked through the Rangers farm system. They got a minor leaguer named Andy Ibanez. He's a second baseman, third baseman. Got him from Cuba a few years ago. He's got a very stable .280 average throughout Cuba in the minors, which means it's not like one of those guys who hit .314 and then .250 and you can't figure out what kind of player he is. The dude's like .276, .271, .285. Like, he's in there consistently good batting average. He hit 8 home runs and 6 steals in 82 games in Double A last year. That's the guy I would go after if he got the shot, but I got a feeling Kiner-Falefa is going to get the first shot. Hanser Alberto is in the minors. He's got some major league experience. J.J. Hardy's still a free agent. Jace Peterson just released by the Yankees. Brandon Phillips still signable. Jakey, are any of these dream scenarios going to play out, or is it just going to be Kiner-Falefa until Odor comes back in a couple weeks?
I think it's mostly that. And unless you've got some story of background where this guy's gone through tough times and learned from a coach and told everybody to F off.
Well, you've done that. We've done the F off part on air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've done that before.
I got a pretty angry phone call from Sean McCormick about your language in yesterday's show.
Sure you did.
I didn't.
It's kind of a shame that
but I could have.
Just like what Chris was trying to tell me that Chris was upset. Yeah, sure. Okay.
It's kind of a shame that Willie Calhoun doesn't play second base anymore.
Yeah, right? But he did?
So this morning when I had read about Andres' injury, I went to Evan Grant, who I think is the best Rangers beat reporter, for the Dallas News.
Is he the Chris Raybourne of baseball reporters?
I do love Chris Raven. He's very, very good.
Do I still have red on my nose? I'm just going to keep wiping it
this entire show.
All right, cool. Thank you.
So he wrote a column about it today. And he kind of broke down some of the names that we were mentioning. And he talked about Kiner-Falefa already being on the roster. But ultimately, they feel like he's a bench guy. And he's more insurance. He was brought up when Odor got hurt to basically be Yerkson Profar's backup. And yes, theoretically, you slide him in. But they then need to bring up another middle infielder to be his backup.
Right.
And basically, they don't want to do that. They don't have any on the 40-man.
Andy Ibanez!
They don't have any on the 40-man roster.
Right, right.
So in their regards...
So you put Andrews on the 60-day. There's no way he's going to be less than 60, than 60 days.
So probably so. So he suggests... the option that makes the most sense is playing Drew Robinson at second base and then playing Carlos Tucci as the starting center fielder every day. So Robinson, I believe Robinson and Tucci have been spending time in center field.
Talking about Tucci.
Sorry, Tucci, not Tucci. Instead of putting having Robinson and Tucci split time in center field, basically let Tucci play every day in center field, let Robinson play second. And although Tucci's probably not ready, like Delino DeShields like could be back soonest out of any of these guys, so that's the best way to manipulate the roster potentially is starting Drew Robinson. He does mention Willie Calhoun, but basically says the Rangers have invested so much time in moving Calhoun to left field, they don't want to go back on that. And then in regards to Hanser Alberto, who you also mentioned, he said he's versatile, he's well liked, but eh. And that's
he doesn't mention Andy Ibanez.
He does not even mention Andy Ibanez. No.
That's kind of how you refer to Mike Florio. Versatile, well,
but
sorry, Jake, you're
that's
trying to get
of, That's a lot of great information, but can we stop calling him by the wrong name? It's Jurickson. It's not Jurickson.
Oh, Jay, come on. You don't know that.
Go to Baseball Reference again. It's not Jurickson. It's Jurickson.
Oh, fine. We'll call him Jurickson for you, Yake. Yake the beast. We only have 2 minutes before we break, and Virginia from Inside Injury is going to be joining us. But I got to bring this up. I was watching the replay of all the fights last night, and I'm watching the Colorado one. And, like, if you just watch slowly, you know, they show the fight, and then there's a slow motion, like, kind of zoomed in one. If you watch closely, a guy comes around, throws his glove at Nolan Arenado, and then, like, keeps running away, and eventually... Freddie Galvis.
Yeah, I was about to say it's Freddie Galvis.
I see that, and I want nothing to do. That is a wimpy, weak, cowardly move.
Who was the one that got tossed for throwing towels? Somebody got tossed for throwing towels in that.
All right, Jake. Thanks for taking us off the rails of a question I was about to ask.
Okay, whatever.
I don't know who was tossed for throwing towels. I only saw Freddie Galvis throw the glove.
You were really going to throw out a question about like not wanting that kind of schmuck?
That says something about someone's mindset and heart and courage. And this is a game that requires a lot of that over 162-game season.
So you don't want him on your fantasy team? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think if Freddie Galvis even like tweaks something in his leg, he'll just take himself out because he's a wimp.
He's batting 350 right now.
You know, he's been very good.
How long is he going to bat 350 for? All right, you guys can be Freddie Galvis apologists. I think that speaks to a man's character, and I think if something comes up, he's going to hit a slump.
I'd rather have him on my team than some of the other players of what they've done.
So you're a big CeCe Sabathia fan who's on the DL and got in the middle of the brawl last night?
I asked Virginia if we could ask about that.
What about Pedro when he threw down Zimmer? Were you okay with that?
I was.
Well, a guy was coming at him, yeah.
Zimmer was totally in the wrong.
He didn't punch him. Yeah, that's all he did, yeah.
Rest in peace, Doc.
I'm sure later on, if there was a chance, he could have gone and like helped him up. Yo. Funny story about this song. I guess I'll tell you during the break. I requested it at like a bar full of youngsters, and everyone got off the dance floor. Anyway, Virginia Zakas from Inside Injuries joining us on the flip side. We'll be right back with more FST after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Welcome back, everybody. FST, Greg Sussman, Matty Modica, Yake Seeley, Virginia Zakas from Inside Injuries joining us in a brief second. We're going to get into some players who are hurt. Some players who are coming back from injury, namely Brandon Finnegan and the like. I just really want to quickly give out a quick plug. Tomorrow at, I believe, 3 o'clock, Greggy, we're going to be doing a Red Felt Break with our friend Greg Bynan. So make sure you tune in for that. And don't forget BFF's on at 2 p.m. Eastern, live on all of our digital channels. Good times will be had by all. Let's bring in Virginia. Virginia Zagas from Inside Injuries. It's great to have you back, Virginia. What's happening?
Hey, how's it going? Good afternoon.
And good afternoon to you, too. Everything's great. Thank you.
The scrubs on, too.
Are back. We're good. So Inside Injuries, by the way, the Inside Injuries app is available on Google and iTunes. You can go to insideinjuries.com, get some information that way. Excellent stuff. We wouldn't be doing this. There's no money being exchanged hands. We just like the Inside Injuries people and the way they kind of break down injuries. It's real doctors. It's kind of like an easy to digest, high risk, media risk, low risky kind of stuff. I don't know. I like it. It goes beyond analysis and just kind of packages it up nicely. So on that note, we'll put Brandon Finnegan off until a little later on. I think the more pressing question, Elvis Andrews fractured his elbow. This is kind of a weird one we don't see a lot in baseball. Virginia, what can you tell us about it in terms of what it means and what the timeline might be for Andrews?
So right now we're showing a 7-week optimal recovery time, but we obviously don't know too much quite yet about his injury. Unfortunately, it's to his throwing arm. So it could end up being a little longer than 7 weeks if it's a serious fracture, or if he needs surgery, it's going to be longer than that. But 7 weeks is realistic right now for him to return.
Essentially 7 weeks for your Erickson Profar, which actually like is better than I thought it would be, to be honest with you.
I saw, yeah, I would have guessed.
Well, you're telling me 7 weeks? I'm like, all right, that's not so bad.
That's 2 months. That's 2 months. That's the All-Star break. No, it's
particularly June.
Yeah, it's a month before the All-Star break.
Virginia, does that 7 weeks count, like his minor league rehab, like in 7 weeks he'll be back, or is that just the recovery time until he can start coming back?
That's really just his recovery time, how long it's going to take the fracture to heal fully. It could be another couple weeks again for him to, you know, pick up a bat and start a rehab assignment. But within 7 weeks, his elbow should be pretty strong again, as long as he doesn't need surgery. It's a more serious fracture than we think right now.
It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
What about his teammate here, Virginia Rufinen Odor? He hurt his hamstring with a strain. That's what put Jurickson Profar in the lineup in the first place. How long should Odor be out for potentially?
Unfortunately, we're showing 4 weeks for him right now. He'd already been playing through a mild strain, which we always say is not a good idea because you end up with something like this where you end up missing a lot more time instead of just taking a few days off early on. He's right now expected to miss around three. We're showing 4 weeks, so could be a long recovery for him.
Let's stay with the middle infield position. Let's go to the shortstop. Xander Bogaerts was just beasting the first couple of weeks, and now he's got this fracture, bone. How long should we expect him out? I've heard 10 to 14 days, but that seems kind of light.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have a much more negative outlook than that. We're showing that he needs around 8 weeks to fully heal. He could return before then, but the fracture is not going to be as, you know, fully healed. The bone won't be quite as strong. He's going to be at a much higher risk of re-injury if he returns sooner than that. But yeah, they're saying 2 weeks. That does not sound realistic, unfortunately.
Matty Mo, who's quick fantasy analysis on that? What move do you make now to kind of?
I'm putting him on a DL or he's staying on my bench.
Well, for him, yeah, but I mean, yeah. Who benefits from that? Is this like, is Su-Wei Lin going to get a call-up maybe? And just
I don't know. I mean, Brock Holt will probably get hot for a couple of weeks. They'll ride that, and then when he fizzles out, we'll see what they do.
I think if you look at this Red Sox infield, it's like a lot of Brock Holt, like Matt mentions. Eduardo Nunez is going to be locked in every day.
If Dustin Pedroia ever comes
when
back.
When Dustin Pedroia comes back. Rafael Devers doesn't ever have to worry about leaving the third base position. So I think
And they got Nunez.
Right. So it's just a lot of guys that you know about already that once they get hot, their roles become more secure. But you heard from Virginia, there's potential that Xander Bogaerts is out longer than Elvis Andrus.
This is devastating news. No. And I expected it longer than
as a Yankees fan,
of course.
You know, but as a human, I feel bad for the guy. Virginia, I had a question that I threw in kind of late, and I was just wondering if you could, like, in the brawl yesterday, CeCe Sabathia, a lot of the Red Sox players, he was being very aggressive in the brawl.
It's a damn brawl.
But I'm saying, but you're on the DL with a hip injury. Like, what could possibly go wrong?
You were being very aggressive in the brawl. It's a brawl!
Greggy, this guy's on the DL, and he's making a lot of money, and he's an integral part of this team that's supposed to contend for the lineup, for the playoffs.
That's what a captain does.
Virginia, can you just give us a quick idea of, like, how hurt is he if he's doing this kind of stuff? And what could have gone wrong if he got landed on or something? Or if he, I don't know, got his cleat stuck in the grass?
So his injury didn't sound too serious. He said he felt a little soreness in his hip, which he hadn't felt before. And of course, at this point in the season, they want to be cautious with him. But he's so big that honestly, his presence in that brawl was probably enough to scare some people off. But of course, it could have turned bad pretty quickly, you know, if he got tangled up with someone or whatever. So he's lucky that he escaped without, I think, picking up a new injury.
Thank you. Wanted to know. I needed to know for myself, like, what is he thinking? Yeah.
So one guy that, Virginia, that's on a lot of my teams as we go away from the middle infield position for a moment, is Anthony Rizzo. And Anthony Rizzo, I know, was at least swinging the bat today, which is a good sign. He's eligible to come off the disabled list on Monday. Should we expect him to come off on Monday? And if so, should we expect him to be healthy and ready to rock?
Yeah, I think a return on Monday is definitely realistic. He's actually about to already hit his optimal recovery time for this injury. What's concerning is that he does have a history of back injuries. Typically for him, they occur later in the season, once, you know, the grind of the games really get going. This one, I guess, occurred because he said he slept on an uncomfortable bed. Who knows if that's true? But he should be ready to go on Monday, but keep an eye on him because it would not be surprising to see more back issues later in the year.
I was going to ask about Will Myers, but I don't know if he ever plays baseball again. So let's go to Christian Yelich. I'm heavily invested in Christian Yelich, so he's more of the focus right now. Usually this takes, I thought, like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. Is it possible he can come back as well as soon as the DL stint is up?
It looks for him like he's probably going to miss a little longer than 10 days. Oblique strains are always tricky. They never heal as quickly as you think they're going to. He originally even hoped that he wasn't going to need to land on the DL. Good news is the MRI came back clean, so he's only dealing with a mild strain. For us, that means he needs around 2 weeks off, and then he can really ramp back up his activity. So shouldn't miss much more than 2 to 3 weeks, but this is a highly recurrent injury as well.
Virginia, as is tradition, because everyone needs to know, and you know what? We joke about it a little bit, but Luis Castillo's not pitching the way he should be, so this makes Brandon Finnegan's return all the more important.
Quality start last night.
Can you give us our weekly update on Brandon Finnegan, please, and where he's at?
Sure. So he's actually passed his optimal recovery time for his bicep strain. We're showing he's still a high risk because, you know, injuries to a pitcher's throwing arm are always concerning, but his health performance factor is above average, which means we think he's healthy enough to go out there and pitch pretty well. Unfortunately, his rehab start didn't go great, but hopefully in his next outing, he'll kind of turn things around. His arm shouldn't be what's holding him back.
Virginia, just kind of related to that. You know, we see a lot of players, not a lot of players, but some players have Tommy John, and then they have some kind of stiffness somewhere else on the arm. I know Finnegan had some shoulder surgery. Now he's got a bicep strain. Is that kind of, and I don't want to say like not ignored, but is the worry lessened a little bit? If there's surgery and somewhere close by, you know, when they're in spring training or when they're coming back, if something kind of close and related happens, is that just like a normal thing we're expected to happen a little bit as they kind of shake off the rust or get the motion back, things like that?
Yeah, it's pretty common to have related injuries when a player has, you know, elbow surgery, shoulder surgery. In this case, you know, the biceps and the shoulder are very closely related because the biceps attaches near the shoulder. So a lot of the time it can be due to overcompensation or just the body's not used to throwing at that intensity yet. So you got to get all the muscles around wherever the surgery site was kind of back and ready to go as well.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to
say. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you did
have more Brandon Finnegan
the good
questions.
Name of Luis Castillo to do it.
Unbelievable.
I'm just telling you what the buzz is. I'm not saying I think
he pitched fine last night. A couple home runs. That was it.
Velocity's down. That's all.
That was some home run by J.P. Crawford.
It sure was. He's a Hernandez.
Guys, Virginia's here. Come on.
Sorry. So we're talking to Virginia Zakas. Inside injuries. Happy to have Virginia on board.
You know, Jake's not. Virginia, are we saying this right? Is it Zakas or Zakas? I don't think you haven't corrected us. We've said it like four different ways.
It's Zakas, but I've heard a little bit of everything, so I'll take whatever.
Well, you got a Nando and a Greg with two G's here, so we understand getting that right. Yeah.
Zach for short.
Yeah, we can do that. That sounds like something she'd really appreciate. Zach.
We're talking to Zach from Inside Injuries. And, you know, with the Yankees, like we talked about Aaron Hicks, and he should be back potentially today for the Yankees, potentially in the lineup in Boston. But a name that would also went on the disabled list was Brandon Drury. And what was weird with him was he was having blurred vision and migraines, and like he has said he's had it for years. That doesn't sound so great. There's been no indication what rehab is or when he's coming back or if the migraines or blurred vision has stopped. What's the latest that you can tell us about Brandon Drury?
So I don't know too much about his situation, but I do know that he's been undergoing a lot of tests and they said the results were good. Don't know exactly what that means, but hopefully that means in the next few weeks he's going to be back out starting a rehab assignment and ramping up his activities. But his migraines are something that have gone back, he said, around 6 years. So even if short term they improve and he's ready to start playing again, it wouldn't be surprising if the migraines continue to cause a problem down the road.
Mm. Oof, that doesn't sound too good. Will Myers, since we're coming back.
You're going back. You
know, go ahead.
We'll go back to this well. This injury sounds, I don't know, mysterious.
No bueno.
Yeah, no bueno, definitely. So, you know, can you give us a breakdown on this one?
Yeah, so they're saying he has nerve irritation in his triceps. Right as we heard that, we said 10 days was not going to be enough time. There's no way that he should be back in that amount of time. We're still only showing a recovery time of 2 to 4 weeks. But in this situation, it looks like if he rests, he should be able to get back out there and play at a fairly high level. But this is something that's probably going to pop back up again because nerve issues don't just go away. It might get calmed down enough for him to play pretty well over the next few months. But then later in the season, it'll pop back up again and be an issue.
So he's kind of like a ticking time bomb.
Speaking of players that are always injured perennially, that leads me to Adam Eaton and Lorenzo Cain. And both of these guys, year after year, are hurt. Obviously, Adam Eaton missed most of last year. And while Cain played all of last year, he's perennially always injured. Both these guys banged up right now. Eaton on the DL, Cain not so much. First question is, how concerned should we be about Adam Eaton's long-term health? And what's the deal with Lorenzo Cain's short-term injury?
So for Eaton, it was actually pretty good news that his injury was just a bone bruise. Last year when he tore his ACL and meniscus, he also suffered a high ankle sprain in the left ankle, which is what's hurt right now. When that happens, the ligaments tend to stretch out. So it's actually good news that in this situation, it doesn't seem like he suffered any ligament damage in his ankle. Bone bruises are very painful to play through, but they can heal within 2 to 4 weeks. So he shouldn't be out for too long. His injury risk is still elevated right now, though. For Lorenzo Cain, really, he should land on the DL. We're showing he needs 3 weeks to fully heal. That's also taking into account the fact that he had quad and hamstring injuries last year. Didn't miss much time, but this is kind of becoming a recurring issue for him.
And you see how that Brewers outfield just works its way.
And exactly. Eric Thames in the lineup now, playing hot, getting hot, as we just said. And hopefully, you know, hopefully there's another game return to the lineup.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Virginia Zakis, inside injuries. Thank you so much for joining us. Where in the world is Dr. A, by the way?
Dr. A actually had a little surgery this week on his neck or back, I think. So, but he'll be back in a few days, ready to go.
Is he an injury risk soon going forward?
Elevated.
What's his recovery time?
That's a good question. He hasn't revealed that yet to us. I think it's just a week or two.
Wish him well.
Yes, yeah,
wish him well for all of us.
Send him best wishes.
Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Virginia. There you go, Nando. The biggest news of the day. Dr. A had it on the DL.
Yes. Thank you, Virginia. Thank you for joining us. This is great. Every time.
I think she's gone.
Okay. There's something going on the TVs out here, and my eyes aren't good enough to read it. Seahawks something, Colin Kaepernick.
I have that. Would you like me to read it to you?
It looks like Seahawks postpone Colin Kaepernick visit.
After arranging for Colin Kaepernick to work out for the Seahawks this week, Seattle postponed the trip when the quarterback declined to stop kneeling during the national anthem.
All right, who cares? Let's go back to baseball.
Okay.
We're not doing that today. Jakey, welcome back. Quick question for you.
All right.
Zach Wheeler, should it be owned in more than 14% of leagues?
Didn't we answer that yesterday?
Well, he had seven strikeouts.
Then he had seven strikeouts last night, like Matty Mo predicted.
Yeah, still, the answer's the same. He was also facing the Marlins yesterday. Let's see him for a second start before we start saying he's a must-add. He should be owned at more than 14%, but at the same time, it's the same Zach Wheeler. I said yesterday, let's hope that Callaway, I spoke about the other one, and Greg brought up said Callaway too. Let's hope that they got to him and figured out what his problem is with his walks. If so, he's always had the potential. That's exactly what I said yesterday. He needs to be owned more than 14%, but I'm not saying he's a must-own.
I will say, watching the game, he was hitting 97 pretty much the whole time. It was the Marlins, like Jake said, but Ron Darling pointed out his previous delivery where he just let the ball hang on his side, and now he's pulling it back, which is the correct way. So, look, this could be a good thing for the Mets. I'm not impressed by what I've seen by Matt Harvey. I mean, Steven Matz is made of glass. So even though Vargas is coming back around April 22nd, so Wheeler will be starting, I think, Tuesday at Atlanta. That's going to be a test.
Yeah. What do you say, Matt? What were you saying? Like, the arm was too close to his body?
They showed the side-by-side shot, and he would just drop it right by his side, and now he's extending it back, which Ron Darling says that's the correct way to do it.
So there you go. Maybe Callaway and them, they picked up on this. This is good. I actually missed that part.
And also, it was kind of good how they didn't automatically give him that start. Like, everybody assumed it was supposed to be Lugo, but before that, everybody assumed that Wheeler would be on the team. He got demoted. I think that was something good to possibly motivate him as well, knowing, look, I got to get this done.
As opposed to the Tommy Pham outlook when you get sent to the minors.
Well, when you're blind.
When you swear, you swear like Jake, and then, contemplate quitting or going to Japan, but the team won't let you. Look, I know we got a minute until break here. Has anyone seen King of Kong? I know, Greg, you haven't. Have you seen King of Kong?
That's the movie with John C. Reilly.
That's Wreck-It Ralph. I'm talking about the donkey where the guy sets the Donkey Kong world, goes out to set the Donkey Kong world record.
Oh, no.
It's a documentary.
Oh, okay.
Jakey?
Like Rampage or something.
I don't watch documentaries.
Oh, trust me on this one. This is better than any movie you'll ever see.
How was the Andre the Giant? A DVR? I haven't seen it.
I still got it on DVR, too. I couldn't watch it.
Same. I haven't
Survivor
watched
it. Was I thought
you were
going to
watch the S side of it.
That was supposed to happen. I haven't had time yet. We've been busy. We had an event here on Tuesday. And then last night, we made food and then, you know, watched Survivor.
Did you make homemade pasta?
No. Pizza.
Ah. I love making homemade pizza. Yeah. I love
and
it.
Buffalo chicken roll.
Oh!
Yeah.
We need some Italian music to lead us out.
Yeah, we do. Florio.
It's going to get Billy Joel.
Yeah, thanks, Florio. Anyway, we're going to come back. We got a lot still to talk about. Andrew Heaney, Franchi Cordero, the King of Kong, Nicky Delmonico, Mikey Matuk has been demoted. He was going to be the leadoff hitter for a little while. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go. Welcome back, everybody. FST, Greggy Greg, Matty Mo, and Yake the Beast Sealy. Shout out to the chat room. Got to take a look at it during the break. If you're on YouTube, jump in and have some fun, man. Gennaro Napoli, fellow Paisan. Making a case for Ketel Marte.
See, I'm the Chris Owens guy. Ketel Marte and Nick Ahmed should battle for shortstop. I just put Chris Owens in there. Nick, I'm going to say his name wrong. The guy that writes for Arizona Central, Nick, something with a P.
Piccardo? Pifuero.
He wrote an article about how they're using what the Astros' approach to hitting was the previous year.
Yeah.
And Owens is like the biggest beneficiary of it. I think he's this year's Chris Taylor in terms of stats.
All right. I can get behind that because I own Owens in a couple of leagues. But you can't not like Ketel Marte just because you like Chris Owens, right?
No, I just don't. I thought maybe at one point in time, Ketel Marte would be a...
Anger just knocked over another Funko
Neil
Pop.
Neil Brown is down. I thought he'd be like a 30-plus stolen base guy. I don't see it. At least Nick Ahmed is an elite defender.
Well, Gennaro's in there talking about swinging strike rate, stuff like that, the contact rate, line drive percentage.
People love him.
Smart. People love this chat room, dude. Like, this is really good stuff.
Todd Zoller is like the biggest Ketel Marte fan.
And shout out to Lance Davis for loving the King of Kong. I'm telling you guys, if you do nothing else tonight... In fact, Jake, if you spend the $2.99 to rent it on Amazon tonight, because I checked, it's not Netflix, I'll send you the $3. I'll PayPal you the $3.
You don't have to worry about it. It's not happening.
It's so, such a good movie.
Tonight, King of Kong, my wife's coming home from a business trip, or making love. I'm going to go with the making love aspect.
We'll just have King of Kong on in the background. All right, look. It's about the guy who tries to set the Donkey Kong world record.
That was a great game. Compelling.
I already read about it when it happened. I don't care.
But there's some huge news today that has to do with it, and I don't want to spoil it because of the huge news. But
I'll
it's just like
the huge news.
Fine, Jakey. Don't spoil it. Don't say anything on air. Anyway, Franchi Cordero, Matt, go ahead. Please, you have the floor for Franchi Cordero.
No, I mean, it was great to see.
I don't get to talk about Ketel Marte and the fact that I was talking about him in the preseason.
Oh, you were kind of quiet about it, so I didn't think you cared.
You didn't get, no, I wasn't quiet. You didn't give anybody else an opportunity. Greg didn't even get to chime in. You just talked to Matt and moved on.
Because I was moving on to, all right, Jake, go ahead.
No, that's fine. Ketel Marte, I've high on him the entire preseason. That's all you get now.
Well, I mean, that's kind of weak. Now no one's going to know what you like about him. Do you agree with Gennaro Napoli?
No, I said he could hit for 280. He's going to get probably, if he plays the full season, close to 10 home runs, but 20-plus stolen bases, and that's 60, maybe 70 to runs. The fact is he's got production in the middle infield. He should be owned in all 12-team leagues as a middle infielder is exactly what I said.
Why don't you shout out Gennaro? You guys obviously agree.
I don't know what he's talking about, so I don't know.
Well, check the chat room, Jake. Like, you don't have the YouTube chat room.
I don't have time for the YouTube chat room. It's mess ups the feed sometimes.
You can't say you don't have time for our watchers.
That's messed up, Jake.
No, it messes up the feed sometimes. You want me to start getting the delay and all hiccupy?
See, at least I say I'm a man for the people. I'm not a man of the people, but I'm a man for the people.
Right.
Yeah, I used to always check out the chat room. Don't tell me that.
Greg, I'm sorry I also skipped you. Would you like to say anything?
No, I want to move on.
So Greg's cool because Greg gets to host a show next. Jake, you've got on target today, don't you?
He does.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
I'm cool, whatever, man. We're on the floor.
This is Maddie's only show, so I like to give the floor to Maddie.
Dude, we're all hanging out. Like,
yeah, that's right. We're all hanging out, man. We're cool.
Don't ever anger the beast.
I know. Jake gets angry.
It's Jake.
Maddie Bell. I'm sorry you interrupted on your Franchi Cordero analysis.
No, I guess the term is like a toolsy player. The fact that he got the call up, got the start, playing center field. The manager said he's their, you know, most toolsy player.
Yeah.
So they need somebody like him. They need his bat in the lineup. He did make a defensive error in center field, but redeemed himself with a home run, which was really good to see. I think it was like a 440-foot shot, something like that. So you have to be at least interested, intrigued, and the fact that he's going to lead off, he can steal bases, he's got some pop, why not?
Jake, a young guy like that, Franchi Cordero. Franchi Cordero. You see him developing, you see him getting better. You look at the Dominican Winter League, where there is some pretty decent talent, and it's not the hardest thing, it's not the Major League Baseball talent, but it's talent. This winter, he went 323 with 5 home runs and 6 steals in 50 Winter League games. Does that mean anything to you? Does that show that he's developing, or is that just like, no, it's just an easy league over the winter?
It doesn't really mean that much for me. I mean, the fact is, we know he has the talent. My biggest question is, I'm not that excited about this because I don't know where the playing time is as soon as, you know, Margot gets back.
My biggest question is Franchi, actually.
But see, I think he does have the playing. As long as he performs in this window that he has, they were high on him. He got injured in spring training. They got to say they have him, Margot. You could have Perella as of now. And Hunter Renfro.
Poor Hunter Renfro, huh?
He hasn't earned it right now. And if anything, I think it's Renfro and Perella that would, you know, split. I don't know when Will Myers is coming back. I don't, you know. I know he spoke to Virginia, but
yeah,
this sounds real creepy, that injury.
Yes, it does. Greg, since you don't get to talk enough, I want to give you the choice of the next person we'll talk about. There's Luis Castillo. There's David Price and his tingling in his hand. There's Mikey Matuk, who is optioned to AAA, and Nico Goodrum, relatedly, who might be taking some of that playing time away. And there's Nicky Delmonico, who had a couple hits last night.
Let's go to Luis Castillo, since you bashed him earlier.
All right, Luis Castillo, here's what I have. I'm not saying I bashed him. I just had a lot of people talking about how he's struggling a little bit. 13 earned runs and 6 innings pitched over his last 3 starts. The good news is he only has a 1.31 whip. His strikeout rate down to 7.3 K per 9. He's played Washington, Pittsburgh, and Philadelphia, 2 of those on the road. All up here, so it's been cold. RotoWorld is noting that the velocity is down, 97.7 last year, according to Fangraphs. This year, he's down to 96. Let me frame it this way for you, Greg, before we get into Luis Castillo. Would you rather have him or Masahiro Tanaka right now? Tanaka's got a 5.19 ERA on the season.
I'd probably rather have Tanaka. That is close. Yeah, so the average fastball is down about, like you said, about 2 ticks.
Let's call it two miles an hour.
It's about 2, according to Fangraphs.
Since you're talking about the average fastball, yes. I'm sorry to jump in, but
please,
you should go to Brooks Baseball.
Okay.
And look at the four seam and the sink and see the difference. Like, everybody was talking about Kershaw, and it's down. But if you look at his four-seam compared to the end of last year, it's not down to 91. The four-seam's still 92 point, you know, almost 93 or at least 92 and a half. It's not like 91 or 90.8. So I think when you hear these kind of things, you do need to do more of a deep dive to see how much of a difference it really is.
So I will say.
So you're scolding us.
So I will say this.
Just from what
I'm seeing, and I did not do the deep dive on Brooks Baseball, but fastball is down about
1.7 miles per hour.
2 miles per hour, according to the bad grass, but like 2 on the slider and 2 on the changeup as well. They're all like 2 miles per hour less.
Yeah.
Across the board.
We prefer 2 ticks, but okay.
2 ticks we're going with? That's fine.
Well, I mean, what does Jake prefer before we get yelled at again?
So it's all down about 2 ticks. What do we make of that? Is it just cold? I mean, like, maybe it's just cold. He's not warmed up yet.
Oh, other people are throwing just as hard in the cold.
But that game against the Pirates, it's going to sound like an apologist.
Yeah.
It was like rainy and it wasn't like 30 degrees, but it was like miserable. He gave
up. You know what? You have to sound like an apologist to make your point, like to tell people no.
He gave up two homers last night. That one by JP Crawford was mammoth. So, look, everybody gives up home runs nowadays.
Sure.
It's a different environment. I think the comp between him and Tanaka was perfect.
Yeah.
Because they were going kind of like side by side in drafts. I had 121, 122 in my ranking, so.
Jake?
I think I'm buying low everywhere I can. Mm-hmm. The fact is, people are talking about, oh, the strikeout percentage on the batter's face and all that, that's down and everything like that. But you know what? He's going through a little adjustment phase early in the season. You mentioned the temperatures. It's been a very cold start to the season. Whatever it may be, he's still getting a 50% ground ball rate, which was 58% last year. That's the one thing, is that he strikes out people and induces a high ground ball percentage. And the fact is, you know, you mentioned the home runs. Well, home run to fly ball rate usually normalizes over a career. So far, he's been somewhat unlucky with it, whether he's hanging them up there or people are just catching them so far, that's going to normalize and come down. It's been very unlucky so far, whether or not it's his own fault. So you look at those numbers, you see you still like the ground ball rate, you know, the fastball velocity, whatever it is. The guy's still averaging almost 98 miles per hour on his fastball. If you're going to do that and get the ground ball percentage, I'm not worried that you're not throwing 99 anymore. Some people who talk about how you're better if you don't. So I'm fine with him. I'm buying low on him. I still think he's going to be a top 25 pitcher.
Is buying low Masahiro Tanaka? Is it David Price? One of those two?
Well, nobody's going to take David Price after not knowing what's going on with his hand. So
I said he was fine. By the eighth inning, he's throwing against a wall.
Nobody is taking David Price right now in a trade for anything close to value until we get the official word that he doesn't even miss a start.
Maybe Matt Boyd for David Price right now.
Maybe I would not give up my Matt Boyd for anyone right now.
That's why I threw that out.
Is it possible that they just use it as an excuse because David Price can never be the Yankees? Ever?
I don't know. No, probably not.
Okay.
I would say no. All right, so if you are we on don't buy David Price? By the way, if you don't know what happened with David Price, felt tingling in his hand, pulled in the first inning yesterday. They did say after the game that he threw against a wall in the eighth inning and he was okay, but they're going to get it checked out, obviously, more. Sounds to me like a nerve issue and something we should have asked Virginia about 20 minutes ago.
but we asked bad Brandon Finnegan.
Our bad, yeah, but we did get Brandon Finnegan in. Is David Price a buy low, or is he just a complete stay away right now? Greggy.
I'm staying away.
Completely.
Completely.
Buy low.
Buy low? But what is buy low, Jakey?
There's somebody, like, you talk about like a Matt Boyd. People are going to panic right now.
People aren't going to take Matt Boyd for him.
Jake Junis?
You might. Yeah, Jake Junis. I actually just wrote about him on the Road of Experts today. So, I mean, look, the fact is people are going to panic. I'm not saying, look, you know, like you asked the question. I finally give you a straight up answer with it, not that depends, and then you crap all over it.
I'm not crapping over it. I just want to know. I'm seriously asking, like, what is that?
I know. And I told you, and you're like, nobody's going to buy a Lodic and Matt Boyd. Yeah, you really? There's a lot of people out there who are going to panic after what happened last year.
In a buy low situation like that, I'm interested. Otherwise, look, he was kind of going in the eighth round. He moved up the last couple of weeks. I'll use the analogy. I was priced out.
Yep.
That's a pun.
If he's healthy, yeah, I want him. But you got to be concerned.
By the way, we got to say goodbye to our digital audience right now. Those of you watching on digital video, digital radio, and obviously podcast is going to keep going. But goodbye, friends at YouTube, Twitch, Periscope, and I don't know if we're on Facebook anymore. But if we are, we love you. Especially Jake. Especially Jake, yeah. And we know everything about you. I wish I could think, like, I'm stuck on Tigers for some reason. Maybe, Jake, would you take a Yarlin Garcia for David Price right now if you're a David Price owner?
No.
I don't think Giolito's too low enough. You know what I mean?
No, that's none of those. Those are all way too low.
Ian Kennedy? I wouldn't take Ian Kennedy for my David Price.
You're way low still.
Yeah, you got to go like Tyler Chatwood, I guess,
Jake Junis was a good one.
I think
there
that's
were more
too low,
names
too.
That people were wanting
Matt,
to be in on.
Matt hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Jake Junis was the best one that Matt threw up.
I agree. I thought Jake Junis was the best one. I totally agree with that.
I don't know. I would not take Jake Junis for my David Price.
I would be so
high. No, but that's
Jake
a perfect,
that
that's a perfect opportunity.
Right, but I'm saying if that was me, I mean, would you guys do that? If you're the David Price owner, would you take Jake Junis?
No.
No,
but there's people out there who would.
Well, we're trying to tell them not to, right?
Right, but
that's
if
for nothing.
You are the Jake Junis owner, we're also telling you to go get David Price with Jake Junis.
How about Sonny Gray?
You're asking the wrong person. I've never been a huge Sonny
what
Gray
about,
fan.
Here,
well,
okay.
They're asking the right person.
Hold
there are
on.
Probably a lot of people who aren't Sonny Gray.
What about this? What about Patrick Corbin?
Yeah, it's going to be hard getting Patrick Corbin right now.
That's why I'm asking.
Strikeouts. I mean, I would trade David Price right now for Patrick
Corbin. You would trade David Price for Patrick Corbin. Jake, would you?
And that team is healthy without last night.
I've been down this Patrick Corbin road before. I don't think I would.
Okay.
He's fair to say that. That's fair to say, and I wrote up about him in early on, like February.
Yep.
The problem with Corbin is it's in intervals. It's never like over the course of a season.
He's like Justin Upton, enough pitchers.
So hopefully he's fully healthy. He throws that slider. His arm doesn't fall off. And he gets paid.
Oh, by the way, important programming note for tomorrow. FST is not going to be a regular FST show. It's going to be an NBA takeover. The NBA is doing this thing with brackets like the NCAA does for the first time.
We got a lot of takeovers coming up for FST.
And then Jake, based on the idea that we're going to let the NBA take over tomorrow, Jake wanted to do some NFL mocking.
Yeah, based on the idea.
Well, it seemed it's a perfect fit.
It's
true. That was the inspiration.
That's actually a factual statement.
Yeah, that's what it was. I wasn't coming to you this idea 2 months ago. That's
no, cool. Jake wanted to do the mocks. But the way we fit it into the schedule was based on how easy this was.
It's not a mock.
It's not a mock draft special.
Jake wanted to do a draft special.
Jake, just go ahead.
For the NFL. Stop. And we're fitting it in at the same time we're doing the NBA. So we're leading off our special FSTs tomorrow with an NBA playoff special with myself, Frankie Stanfield, Maria Marino.
Yeah.
We'll all be up here. Kelly O'Coin?
I don't think he can do it.
Okay.
He sent me an email last night. He's actually in Portland.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, if
huge
he was here,
Blazers fan.
He'd be here with us.
Yeah.
By the way, dollar you know bill on means. Billions.
And also Pastor Tim and the Americans.
3-day weekend, a little sushi dama with the wife tomorrow.
Oh!
You got a whole day.
Central Park.
You got a whole day to watch King of Kong now.
Like that.
It's Central Park tomorrow.
It's going to be 75.
That's great.
Wait, so that's what you're saying? Matt and I are both off tomorrow?
We are.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Jake, you're welcome to do the special if you want to do the NBA bracket special.
No, Greg doesn't want me on anything anymore.
That's true. We have lobbied against you a lot.
If you want to hang out at BFFs tomorrow, Jake, because you're not doing FST, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah, Jake.
You as well, Matt. Everyone's welcome to.
Matt just, he's going to spend his day in the park.
No, I understand.
Oh, but come with you. That sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, do I have to do a red felt break? Because I run in Central Park.
Yeah, Greg's going to buy sunglasses.
And then walk it off.
Love it. So anyway, special playoff special of FST tomorrow with Frank Maria and myself. And then next week, Jake's going to take over the reins for a couple of days to do NFL draft specials.
Yeah.
That's what, next Wednesday, Thursday, Jake? Do I have that right?
Tuesday, Wednesday, as long as Lisi confirms.
Tuesday and Wednesday. And then a week later, the Friday we're doing it? The day after the draft?
On the 30th.
So a week and a half later.
Oh, why are we doing it?
Look, we don't have to give the entire schedule.
We should do the day
right
after
now.
The draft.
Post-draft. It's a post-draft.
Yeah, that's the post-draft.
Oh, the post-full draft. Gotcha. Okay, yeah. No, just post-draft.
We should make a calendar.
We have one downstairs.
Yeah, we have one. It's on the whiteboard.
Put, like, faces of the beast on it.
Oh,
Jake's a calendar. Yeah. So a lot of special FST programs.
It's not a mock draft.
You should bring back the picture I drew of you in Toronto, Nando.
The beat? Well, that was naked, and it's inappropriate for TV, Jake. Draw me like one of your girls,
oh,
Jake.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, thanks for joining us here on FSC. Keep in mind, now that we've gotten all the programming out of the way, that everybody knows where to look, you actually should check out that NBA thing, though. It's a free bracket. You just got to predict how many games, and there's $1 million prize at the end if you get it all right.
Where do we go to do that, Nando?
NBA.com, I'm assuming.
There you go.
Yeah, they're smart enough. Fantasy Best Friends Forever are next if you watch us live. If not, Fantasy Best Friends Forever on VOD. And it's 2 o'clock live every day. For the Beast, Matty Moe, Greggy Greg, I'm Nando DeFino. We'll see you later.